Be turning in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, and I'll catch up with you in a few moments. We'll be looking at various different passages tonight. But before I get there, I ran across a little story while I was studying this week and getting ready for the service tonight. I don't know if I've ever told it before. If I have, please forgive me. But it's a fictional story. It's not true, and you'll know that as I share it. But I read across a little story about a man named Fred who died. And when he arrived at the pearly gates, there was a little, very short line, and within just a few moments, he was standing in front of an angel who had a clipboard in his hand and began to ask Fred some questions. And Fred was a little bit nervous about getting through the gates of heaven, but he answered the questions, and the angel started off with some basic information like his name and address and a few other particular bits of information. And then the angel told him, he said, "Fred, it would probably help the process along. Maybe if you could just share with me some experience from your life on the earth where you did a purely unselfish, kind deed." And Fred thought about it for a moment and he said, "You know, I think I have something that you would be interested in. So one day I was walking along and I came upon this little old lady who was being beaten up by a huge man, a man that was part of a motorcycle gang. And he said, I stepped right into action when I saw it. First thing I did was push over his motorcycle to distract him. Then I kicked him real hard in the shins and told the old lady to run for help. And so then I hauled off and I hit him in the gut with my fist as hard as I could." The angel was pretty impressed with Fred's kind and unselfish deed, and so he asked Fred, "Could you tell me when that happened?" He looked at his watch and he said, "About 3 minutes ago." Now, I know and you know that that's just a fictional story and kind of silly at best. And we know that when a person dies, that's not really the way it is. That is, that there are no interviews at the pearly gate. There are no angels standing there with clipboards doing interviews and trying to find out whether or not you did something good in your life. That is not how it is whenever you die. But that little story does remind us, doesn't it, of the suddenness of death. Of the suddenness of death. And that is that you might be going along in life as healthy and strong as anybody, and then within a few moments be dead and gone into eternity. That it can happen quickly. Sometimes for many people it is unexpected, and all of a sudden we're gone. And 3 minutes after you're dead, you won't be standing in line in front of an angel by the pearly gate trying to impress him with your kind deeds. That is not what's going to happen. But I do wonder where you would be 3 minutes after you're dead. I think it's worth considering, don't you? There are two places that people go after they die. Now, you all know this already, but just a reminder to you that there are two places that individuals go to after they die. And that is heaven or it is hell. In the service this morning, we took a time to just think about our home in heaven. And that is, we looked at the Gospel of John in chapter number 14 and some various other passages just to remind ourselves of what our Lord revealed to us, that window that He gave us to peer into this place called heaven and the promise that He has given us of heaven. And so we took some time to look at that for just a little while, our home in heaven. So tonight I want to just look at the other side of the coin, so to speak, and talk to you a little bit about the horrors of this place that we're reminded of in the Bible called hell. You know, you can't really preach about heaven without talking about hell. As a matter of fact, the same Lord Jesus who spoke about heaven in John chapter number 14 also revealed to us the truth about hell. As a matter of fact, I've been told that our Lord spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. And that He revealed to us the truth and the reality about this place called hell. When we think of hell, we indeed think of a place of torment. We think of a place where of scorching heat, don't we? A place that's full of demons, and a place in the center of the earth where the rich man in Luke 16 lifted up his eyes in torment. We think of a lake of fire at the end of the age. When we think of the awful suffering and the agony of those who die and spend eternity in hell. Heaven and hell, two places that are the opposite of each other. The horror of hell. There are several things that stood out to me as I was thinking about hell this week, and one of the things that stood out to me was the horror of hell's preparation. When we were studying in the John chapter number 14 of the service this morning, we discovered that heaven is a prepared place. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to go away, and that is to the Father's house, and prepare a place for them. And we discovered that indeed the preparation that he was making was through his death on the cross, his resurrection the third day, his ascension to the right hand of God as our intercessor. And we discovered that heaven is an actual literal place. That is, Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. It is a real literal place that is prepared by our Lord, a place whose builder and maker is God, somewhere beyond the realm of this universe, far beyond what our eyes will ever be able to see, even with the telescopes that we have, is an actual place that is called heaven, that is just as real, that is just as literal as the place that we call earth. Indeed, it is a real place. That is, there is a place that has been prepared, that is a dwelling place of God. Heaven is not a state of mind, and Jesus didn't say that he was going to go prepare a state of mind, did he? He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And heaven is indeed a prepared place. Out beyond the realms of the universe is a real place, a real literal place. There are real literal walls of jasper and gates of pearl and really streets of gold, the place where God is seated upon a throne and where the saints of God are gathered around his throne, worshiping him around the throne of God. It is a prepared place. But I want you to understand this evening now that just like heaven is a prepared place, hell is too. It is as well. And all the awful horror of this place called hell and the preparation of hell. Just like God prepared a place beyond the boundaries of the universe called heaven, he has also prepared a place that is also called hell. The Bible tells us about it in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 41. It may be a verse that you've heard about before. Maybe you've read it before, and I probably preached on it not too long ago, where the Bible says that he's going to say also unto them on the left hand. That is, when the Lord comes again, he's going to divide those who are living at his return, and he's going to put those who are righteous that are saved on his right hand, and he's going to put those that are not saved on his left hand. And the Bible says that he's going to say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now notice now, prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, here's what the Lord is saying, and that is that when he comes again, that he's going to indeed cast into a place of awful torment, that is the place that we know of as hell, those who are not right, those who are not righteous before him, or those who have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, into a place called hell. And then the Bible tells us here that hell is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was a place that was designed for the devil himself. It is a prepared place. Folks, hell is not some kind of a made-up fairy tale. It's not something that we just have imagined, but it's a real literal place that was prepared by God himself. Listen, when you walk out across the parking lot in just a little while to get into your car in a few moments, I believe that beneath your feet, that is in the very heart of this planet, that is that you and I live on, is a real literal burning place called hell. A place, a burning fiery torment in hell. Listen, if you and I had ears to be able to hear deep into the earth where this burning place is at, we would hear the cries of those who are there tonight. That is a real literal place called hell. Now, there are many who would try to deny the existence of hell, and they would say things that's just too awful, and I can't believe in a place that's that bad. Well, listen to me now. Just because it's awful doesn't do away with the fact of it, amen, and with the reality of it. And we can shut our eyes, and we can close our ears, and we can try to pretend that indeed hell is not a real literal place, but the truth is that it really is. That is, it is a real place that God has prepared. Listen, to try to dodge it, listen, will not annihilate it. And listen, to ignore it will not erase it. And to deny it will not to destroy it. And it's a real literal place that has been prepared by God himself. And the Bible says here it was prepared for the devil and his angels. You know that the devil, Satan, at one time was one of the most powerful angels in heaven. The Bible indicates to us that in the book of Isaiah that he became filled with pride and rebelled against the authority of God and decided that he was going to have his own way and try to sit upon the throne of God himself. He rebelled against God. It's always been Satan's desire to be in control, to reign and to rule. And God said, and God judged him and cast him down, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, and listen to me now, prepared a place for the devil, a place of everlasting fire and a place that is going to burn for forever. He stripped the devil of his position in heaven and cast him down to earth. And the Bible says that he's now walking to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But the Word of God also tells us there's coming a time when the devil is going to be cast into an everlasting lake of fire. Well, he'll burn forever and ever. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10. Listen to the words that the Apostle John wrote for us. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. At the end of the age, this one, the devil, is going to be cast into an everlasting lake of fire, one that is going to burn forever and ever. What I'm trying to get you to see is that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. All one of the horrors of hell is its preparation. That is, that it was prepared as a place of judgment, a place of everlasting judgment, a place of divine judgment upon the one who rebelled against the authority of God from the beginning. And that is indeed the devil and indeed the angels who were with him. The Bible tells us that when Satan rose up in rebellion against the authority of God, that about a third of the angels joined with him in his rebellion against God. And the Bible tells us about them. Listen to what it says in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says that God spared not the angels that sinned, but he cast them down to hell. Say that again. God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Over in the book of Jude in verse number 6, we find another reference to this same kind of idea. Jude has had just one chapter, so it's just Jude, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto or until the judgment of the great day. Now, if these verses mean anything, what they mean is this. The angels that followed Satan when he rebelled against the authority of God were cast down. Some of them were confined to the place called hell. Some of them were cast down to hell. Some of them were alive or are moving about upon the earth, but there are others that are reserved in this place of torment, awaiting the day of judgment. There are others, ladies and gentlemen, that indeed, along with the devil, are walking to and fro. They're trying to devour and they're trying to deceive and trying to destroy. But even those demons that are here upon this planet, even those demons know that there's a place that is reserved for them. A place that was created for them. A place of torment in which they will be cast someday. Think about the demons that are mentioned in the Bible. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter number 8. And verse number 28. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 28, the Bible gives us a little bit of insight. Bible says, and when he, Jesus, was come to the other side, that is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, two men possessed with demons, coming out of the tombs. They lived among the tombs. And the Bible says that they were exceeding fierce. These men are ferocious men, the demons that possessed them, the result of it. So that no man might pass by that way. These men were so mean, they were so ferocious that nobody wanted to travel through that area because they were so demon-possessed. Nobody wanted to deal with these men, but the Lord deliberately went there to deal with these demons in these men. And the Bible says, behold, they cried out. And here's what they said, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now these are the demons on the inside of these men that are speaking through them. You say, Pastor, you believe the demons can do that? I know that they can. That is, they're speaking through these men. And here's what they said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You see, what are those demons talking about? They're talking about the fact, and they know that there is a time in which they are going to be confined to everlasting torment. They know that there is a place that God has created. There's a place that God has prepared just for them, in which indeed they're going to be cast into an everlasting place, an eternal place of torment that we think of when we think of the word hell. What I'm trying to get you to see, that hell is a real place. It's a place just as real as this building in which we're seated this evening. And it was a prepared, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. I'm trying to get you to see the awful horror of hell's preparation. Listen to me, if you're here and you're lost, if you've never been saved, you can shut your eyes to your lost condition, and you can do it for the rest of your life, but one day you'll wake up in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. What's so horrible about hell? Because of what it was prepared for the devil and his angels. We see here the horror of hell's preparation. Second thing I want you to consider with me is the horror of hell's population. The Bible tells us about those who are going to die and go to hell in Matthew chapter number 7, a familiar passage to many of you. Jesus talked about two different ways and two different gates. Some of you might remember in the service this morning that in John 14 we looked at the fact that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Using this same idea of the way, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And notice now, many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You say, well, what is the narrow way that leads to life? His name is Jesus, amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way into heaven is through Christ. But listen to me now. The Bible indicates that the way to hell is a broad way, and that the gate is wide, and there are many that are on it. You say, well, why is that true? Because of our lost and sinful condition. We are by our very nature sinners, separated from God, and on the road to a place called hell. Listen, you don't have to do anything or change anything to die and spend eternity in hell. We are by very nature separated from God and on our way to this awful place of judgment, a place prepared for the devil. Listen, hell is going to be populated by many, many people. You say most people go to heaven when they die. Not according to the Bible now. The Bible teaches us that there are few that go to heaven and that there are many that go to hell. That's what the Bible indicates. The words of our Lord, it's a populated place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a populated place. There are many people in this place called hell. Now we know who's in heaven, don't we? We got a little glimpse through the window of heaven this morning and we discovered it's where God's at. It's the Father's house. It's the population of heaven begins with God, according to the Bible. It's where He's made His tabernacle with men. It's a place where in the book of Revelation we discover the 24 elders are at. And the 24 elders probably symbolizing God's people throughout all ages. That is, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, 24 being the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God. It's populated by angels. Revelation 5 indicates that indeed angelic beings are there in heaven bowing and worshiping the one who is seated upon a throne. Heaven is a place that is populated by those who have been redeemed. Those who are saved, the Bible tells us. I like what the Bible reveals to us at the end of Revelation 21. Listen to what the Bible says. Revelation 21 and verse 27. "There shall in no wise enter into it," that is in the New Jerusalem, "into heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." But listen now, "those are they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Who's going to heaven? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You say, what is this now? Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And those who have Him have life. And they're written in the book of life because they've received everlasting life when they've received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those who are saved by the grace of God, listen to me now, the moment that we leave this life, immediately we go to be in a place called heaven, as we discovered this morning. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen to me, child of God, the very moment, the very split second that you close your eyes in death and your heart stops beating, you'll be in glory. Conscious in a place called heaven. You'll know where you're at. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to worship. You'll be conscious in a place called heaven. It'll be a glorious day. One of these days you get to leave this existence, step through space, wave goodbye to the stars and the moon, kiss goodbye to the sun, about the time you meet the sun. One of these days when you get there, you're going to wonder why it is that you were so scared of it and afraid of it, and why it is you put it off and fought it so hard. It's more glorious than what I can describe to you and what the Bible can even picture to us, this place called heaven. But listen, there's people there, people that who have their names written in the book of life. But I tell you that just like heaven is a populated place, hell is too. There are many people in this place called hell. You say, what's the population of hell really all about? Well, just like heaven is populated with the angels of God, hell is populated with the angels that sinned. I just read to you a verse in 2 Peter 2:4, where the Bible tells us that indeed the angels that sinned were cast down to hell, according to that particular verse. So there are many demons that are in hell. There are not all of them, but there are many that are confined to this place called hell. Just like heaven is populated with the saints, hell is populated with the sinners who rejected Christ, who never came to Christ. In other words, just like God's saints enter into heaven the moment that they leave this life, even so, listen to me now, those who've never received Christ, that the moment that you die, you become immediately conscious in a place called hell. The very moment that your heart stops beating, that your body stops breathing, the very moment that you die, you will be conscious in a place called hell. In Luke chapter number 16, you can read about a rich man who died, and you remember the story very well. I preach on it every once in a while. The rich man who died, and the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Immediately upon death, he lifted up his eyes in a place called hell. So the reality is that if you leave this life without ever having genuinely received Christ, now some folks may try to fake it through church and try to pretend like everything's all right, but if you've never genuinely been saved, I mean the real deal, been born of the Spirit, when you leave this life, now listen to me, if you've never repented and truly trusted Him, the moment that you leave this life, you'll wake up in a place called hell. You'll be part of the population of hell. That is the crowd that's on that wide way, that is that headed down the wide road, the one that leads to everlasting destruction. Hell is a populated place, and there are men and women and boys and girls there who would not repent, who wouldn't turn to Christ, and who just wouldn't come to Him. And maybe some of them didn't want to give up their sin. They didn't want to turn loose of whatever it was in their life. And that is, they heard the gospel and God dealt with their heart, and they realized they needed Christ, and then they realized they were going to have to surrender everything. And they turned away like the rich young ruler. They turned away sorrowful and went away and would not come to Him. They're going to be in this place called hell. Maybe like the ruler who sat there with the great apostle Paul and heard his testimony. And the Bible says that he was gripped and indeed he trembled and knew that he needed what Paul had. But he finished with the conversation with those words, almost persuadest thou me to become a Christian. Almost. I mean, that close. Almost, but lost. We don't know if he ever came to Christ, but there's a good possibility that if he was to go through hell and look at the population of hell, that he would be there. A man who was almost saved. Almost, but lost. Hell is populated with people like that. When the Lord was speaking to his disciples, he made a comment to him in Matthew 10 and verse number 28. Listen to this verse. He said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Over in the parables of Matthew chapter number 13, listen to the words of our Lord. Matthew 13 and verse number 41, the Bible says, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Mark chapter number 9 gives us a startling passage. Listen to what it says. Mark 9 and verse 43. Jesus said this, "If thy right hand offend thee," that is, if your right hand is causing you to stumble and keeping you from coming to Christ, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed without that hand than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, if it's your foot causing you to stumble so that you don't come to Christ, then cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into, hold into life than to having 2 feet be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, if it's your eye that's causing you to turn away from Christ, pluck it out. That is, reach in the eye socket and pull it out and throw it in the trash can. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with only one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You say, Pastor, that's a pretty graphic passage of Scripture. You got to be careful how you deal with it. But here's what I believe the Lord is saying. Hell is such an awful place and such a terrible place that whatever it is that's standing in your way of coming to Christ, you ought to get rid of it. You ought to turn away from it. You ought to abandon whatever it is. Listen to me now. If it's your money, rich young ruler, if it's money, go sell everything that you have and give it away to the poor and come and follow me. And listen to me now, you'd be better off not having another penny the rest of your life and having Jesus. You say, Pastor, are you sure about that? Well, in Luke 16, when the rich man died, there was a poor beggar that laid at his gate. The story assumes that the reason why this man was poor is because he gave his life to Christ. He abandoned everything he had and became a Christ follower. And that's why he was poor. Listen, probably his family rejected him. His employer fired him. He didn't have anything. Ended up being a beggar with nothing. But he had Jesus. Amen. And one of these days, one day when he died, the Bible tells us that he was the one in a place of comfort. When the rich man died, who held on to everything he had, but didn't have Jesus, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in that awful place of torment. And the irony of all ironies is that indeed the rich man wanted the poor beggar. The one who had begged for food from him, he was begging for a drop of water on his tongue from that poor beggar. Whatever you have to give up, no matter what it is. You say, Pastor, if I get saved, I won't have the friends that I used to have. Listen to me now, there's not a friend in the world worth dying and going to hell for. Amen. There's not. I remember when I was lost and God was dealing with me, and the thing that stood in my way was my old rotten pride. You know, I thought everybody thought I was already saved, and I didn't want anybody to know that I wasn't. And it was the devil just manipulating me into trying to keep me lost. And listen, there's not anybody's opinion that's worth dying and going to hell over. There's not a family member that's worth dying and going to hell over. There's not any amount of money that's worth dying and going to hell over. There's not any sin that you're involved in that's worth dying and going to hell over. You ought to abandon everything to Christ and surrender everything to Him and receive Him as the Lord of your life. Listen, hell is populated with people who simply wouldn't give up, who wouldn't surrender, who kept holding on to what they had. That's right. It wouldn't be worth it in the end. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent. You're all going to likewise. The word likewise means that without respect to persons. Every one of you, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, the Jews had an arrogant, proud attitude, and they thought the Gentiles were worse sinners than what they were, and Jesus told them, He said, listen, if you don't repent and turn to me, you're going to perish just like the Gentiles will. You'll all likewise perish, die, and spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Revelation 20, the Bible tells us about the great white throne and how that indeed there are going to be those who are going to stand before the Lord at the end times. That is, at the end of the age, and hell is going to deliver up those that are in hell and stand before God at the great white throne and be judged by Him. All of the lost, those who haven't received Christ, are going to be judged by Him. And the Bible says, indeed, death and hell, all of it will be cast into a lake of fire. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who's going to be in hell? Everyone whose name is not written in the book of life. Well, I looked at a verse earlier and we discovered those who are going to be in heaven are those who have their names written in the book of life. And those who don't have their names written in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. You say, what's the big deal about the book of life? Listen, the issue is whether or not you have received everlasting life, whether or not you've received Christ. That's the issue. If you haven't, then you'll be separated from Him in a place called hell. Revelation 21:8, here's what the Bible says. But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is a populated place. All the horror of hell's population. I know that there are those in our day that try to convince everybody that when you die, that's it. Many believe that when you die, that's all. You just die and it's finished. It's over. But listen to me. God knows a whole lot more than we do. And here's what He's revealed to us. And that is that there's an eternity beyond this life. And those who've never genuinely received Christ will spend that eternity in a place of torment called hell. Listen, those who populate hell, those who die and go to hell, are just as conscious as we are here today. They're just as conscious. When the rich man died and went to hell, the Bible tells us that indeed he was conscious of where he was and who was around him. He knew who Abraham was, did he not? He knew, saw the beggar on the other side, on the other side of that great gulf that was fixed between the place of torment and the place of comfort. He experienced pain and thirst when he asked Abraham to send that beggar to dip his finger in water and come and just touch his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. He experienced memory as he remembered his five brothers and begged Abraham to send somebody back from the dead to warn his five brothers to repent so that they wouldn't come to this awful place of torment. I can't think of anything, dear friend, that's more horrible, talking about the horror of hell, than for a person to die and go to hell. And there you are in the awful torment of hell, knowing that your children are headed to the same place. What a terrible thing to think about. I can't think of anything more horrible than those who are in hell today that are there right now, in the awful torment of that place, and who know that you're not saved, if you're here and you're lost, and are begging now, pleading even at this moment that I'm preaching, and listen, maybe pleading even now that somebody would be able to go back from the dead and warn you that this place is real. If you die and go to hell, listen to me now. It's going to be a horrible place. I've had so many people tell me, and you have too, that if I die and go to hell, I'm not going to worry about it because all my buddies are going too. Amen. Yeah, we're just going to party and have a good time down there in this place called hell. But listen to me now. The biblical revelation of this place called hell reveals to us that indeed it's not a place of partying, but it's a place of deep anguish and suffering. There's no partying in hell. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says in Luke 16, but not in hell. He was in torment. In that place. It's a populated place. There's men that are in hell, gentlemen, because they never received Christ and they'll be there forever. Ladies, there's women in hell because they never received Christ. Young men, there are young men in hell. Young ladies, there are young ladies in hell. And the reason why they're there is not because they were good or bad, but because they never turned to Christ and received everlasting life. All the horror of hell's population. You say, Pastor, I know that you know people like Hitler and other terrible people who've done terrible things are in hell, but hell's populated by those who would be measured with good standards today. Why, if the rich man in Luke 16, why, listen to me now, the rich man in Luke 16, if he were living in our day, we would hold him in high esteem. A man who was successful in life, a man who had achieved the American dream. Well, if he was running for office, you and I would be voting for him. Absolutely. He had achieved the American dream. People looked up to him with respect. That's right. He had the respect of his peers. He was indeed a man who experienced riches. He was a man, ladies and gentlemen, who had achieved what you and I might dream about or would like to achieve in our life. And yet here he is now in a place called hell. I'm trying to get you to see the horror of hell's population. What we've seen is the horror of hell's preparation. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. We've seen the horror of hell's population, populated by those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are indeed on that wide way described to us in Matthew chapter number 7. I'm going to speak to you for a few more moments on the horror of hell's privacy. The horror of hell's privacy. Listen to me now. Hell is a place that we would maybe describe as a private place. a private place. We have a lot of private clubs, don't we? And private places. Maybe some of you would like to have just a private place for a little while. Amen. Just a place where not everybody can enter into that club. Or a place where you're just by yourself. And you know, heaven is kind of a private place in one way, isn't it? Heaven is a private place because there are some things that aren't allowed there. The unsaved are not allowed in heaven. According to Revelation 21:27 that we read a few moments ago, only those whose names are written in the book of life. Sinful, corrupt bodies are not allowed in heaven. I like what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, where it says, indeed, that flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. That is, these old sinful, corrupt bodies are not allowed in heaven. You've got to have a new body in heaven. Amen? That's the reason why in order to get to heaven, you've got to leave this body behind. That's called death. And when the Lord comes, He gives you a new body. Heaven is a place, as some of you discovered in your Sunday school class this morning, it's a place where tears are not allowed. The Bible says God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Heaven is a place where there's death is not allowed. Listen, it's a private place, no death allowed there. If you walk, listen, on the door of heaven, indeed, no more death. You can't enter in, according to Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 4. There's no more sorrow and there's no more pain in heaven. It's a private place in that sense. That is that there's some things that you just won't find there that aren't allowed there. But listen to me now, just like hell, heaven is a private place, hell is too. Here's what I mean. There are some things that you won't be able to find in hell. Listen to me, lost person. I want you to pay attention. There's some things that if you die and go to hell, they won't be there. There won't be any light in hell. The Bible describes it as being a place of darkness. In Matthew 8:12, Matthew 22:13, the Bible talks about being cast into outer darkness. A place of darkness. The Bible describes it in 2 Peter chapter 2, indeed in terms of darkness, the place where the devil and his angels have been cast down. The Bible describes it as a mist of darkness in Jude verse 6. It is a place of darkness. Listen to me now. There's no light in hell. Light is not allowed in hell. Can you imagine the horror of dwelling in a place of darkness? A place of darkness where there is no light. And where there would never be any light. No lights in hell. There's no water in hell. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible tells us, just a reminder to you, that when the rich man died and went to hell, that he was indeed tormented in the flame. The flames and the fire of hell tormented him, and he was begging for someone from outside of hell to dip their finger in water and come and just touch his tongue. In Luke 16:24, there is no water in hell. A place of burning fire. The Bible says the fire is not quenched in hell. There's nothing to put the fire. Listen, it's not a place where the fire can be quenched. It's a place of scorching heat without any water. Those who are in hell are begging for just a drop of water. And listen to me, if you die and go to hell, you will be too. I'm going to say that again. Those who are in hell are begging for a drop of water. And lost person, listen to me, if you die and go to hell, if you don't get honest with God and get saved, and you die and go to hell, you'll be begging for a drop of water as well. It's a place where there's no light. It's a place where there is no water. Listen, it's a place where there's no rest. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Hell's a place of torment. The Bible tells us in Luke 16 that when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, I'm tormented in this flame. It is a place of torment. There's the torment of the darkness of hell. There's the torment of the fire of hell. There's the torment of worms, the Bible says, in hell. That is, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. There is the torment of memory in hell. Remembering his five brothers who were on this place, on their way to this place called hell. Just remembering your own children. Just remembering your own grandchildren. That is, remembering your neighbors and remembering your friends and those you work with. That is, haunting your memory. All the awful torment of just remembering those that are on the way to hell, to the same place where you'll be suffering for all eternity. You know, when you and I go through a time of torment, whether it be a time of physical suffering or whatever kind of torment we're going through, there usually comes a time of rest from our torment. Sometimes we go to the doctor and the doctor can give us a prescription, or we go to the hospital and the healthcare workers there can be able to help us, and finally we find some rest or some relief from whatever it is that is tormenting us. Some of you have had agonizing pain, haven't you, at times? You remember, don't you? Remember, some of you remember, I've been with some of you who've been in the hospital in agonizing pain. I could name some of you right now that I know that I'm looking at, and I remember seeing you lying in a hospital in agonizing pain, desperate and needing help and relief from the awful pain, and finally, you got some. But not so in hell. There will never be any rest from the awful torment of the place that is called hell. Those who go to hell look for some way to get some relief, even to the point of begging someone to come from the other side of the gulf to just dip their water in tongue and come, or dip their finger in water and come and just cool their tongue. Searching for relief, searching for help, but there's never any rest from the torment of this place called hell. You'll never find any rest in hell. Hell is a private place. There's some things that aren't allowed. Do you know there's not any hope in hell? Hell is a place of no hope. Listen to me, some of you here and you're lost. In the back of your mind, you have the hope of being saved. Someday you'll be saved. But listen, if you die before you get saved, that hope's gone. No more hope. No hope of salvation. No hope of any mercy. No hope of relief. No hope of escape. In this life we have hope, don't we? When we have problems, we hope things get better. Whenever we get sick, we have hope that we'll feel better. When we experience sorrow, we hope for a brighter day. But when a person dies and goes to hell, they have to abandon all hope. There is no hope in hell. I'm just talking to you about the fact that hell is like a private place where some things are not allowed. There's no light. There's no water. There's no rest. There's no hope. Hell is a place of horror. A place of horror. Listen to me. Some of you are playing with salvation. You're playing with it. But if you lose, you've lost forever. Hell is a terrible place. There's the horror of hell's preparation. Prepare for the devil and his angels. There's the horror of hell's population. All the millions who are there, it's a broad road full of demons that have been cast down there, full of people who've rejected Christ. There's the horror of hell's privacy, the things that won't be there. And then there's finally the horror of hell's permanence. Back in Matthew 25, when I was reading to you a verse there a few moments ago, in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 41, where the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that the Lord is going to say to the lost, that last day, the Bible says when he judges them, he's going to say, depart from me. That is, be separated from me. Depart from me. Notice you cursed. Now listen, into everlasting fire. Fire that is everlasting. A fire that is never quenched. You'll see it again in verse number 46 of that same chapter. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Did you know that the awful agony and the horror of hell is indeed permanent? It is permanent. Now we know that life on this earth is temporary. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said that our life is like vapor that appears just for a little time and then it vanishes. It's just a temporary thing. A temporary thing. But listen to me now. Eternity is permanent. Now that's good for those who are saved. That means that when we leave this life and we are immediately in the presence of God, that we're going to be in His presence forever. That's right. We're going to be in His presence forever. The Bible says in the passage we dealt with this morning in 1 Thessalonians 4, when the Lord comes and our dead bodies are raised from the dead and reunited with our souls from heaven, that we're going to be caught up into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Child of God, when we get on the other side in glory, we're going to be there forever in the presence of our Lord. It is indeed a permanent place, an eternal dwelling place. But listen to me, even so, not only is hell a permanent place, heaven a permanent place, but hell is too. It is as well. The Bible says the fire is everlasting. It is indeed a place of everlasting punishment. It is an everlasting place. If you leave this life without the Lord, listen to me now, the very next second after you die, you'll be in a place called hell. And you will not be released from that awful place of torment. The only time you'll come up out of hell is at the end of the age. Listen to me, and that may be thousands of years from now. At the end of the age, you'll come up and stand before the great white throne judgment. But all that you have looked forward to at that point is indeed a lake of fire. Off of the awful horror of hell. Listen, if you die and go to hell, you'll be there forever. You'll be there forever. Listen, it would be a terrible thing to suffer the judgment and wrath of God for even one moment. 60 seconds. But if you die and go to hell, it'll be for all eternity. There'll never be an end to the torment. Never an end to the misery of that horrible place. Listen, if you die and go to hell, all you'll see is a long forever with no relief. After you've been there for a million years, you can look back to all the time you've spent in hell and realize that it's but a moment compared to the eternity that you're experiencing. Listen to me. If you're here and you're lost and you leave without Jesus, the very next step that you'll take after you leave your body will be to this eternal place called hell. The gates of hell will close behind you and they'll never open again to let you out. Listen. When once you've been shut up within the walls of this place of fiery torment, there will be no escape. The chains that bind you will be chains that are crying out forever written on them. The flames that torment you will be crying out forever as they torment you. The awful and ravaging demons that populate that awful place will have nothing but forever on their wicked tongues. Are you all still with me? You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me? I'm just trying to tell you the truth tonight. It is a place that is permanent. You know, in this life, when a person is suffering in agony, as I mentioned earlier, you can look forward to some relief. I've stood by the bedsides of people, some of them that are your loved ones and friends, who were suffering in agony, sick, in a diseased body that couldn't get better. And they were looking forward to a day when death would finally bring rest to their body. That's right, looking forward to death, to leaving this life when they would finally have rest from their diseased body. But listen to me now, there will be no death in hell. Listen, if death could go to hell, it would be welcomed as a hero. That's right. If death could go to hell and stop the suffering of those who are there, it would be welcomed as a hero. There would be shouts of triumph in every cavern of hell if death could come and stop the suffering. But the terrible reality is that there will never be an end to the suffering and the torment of hell. It's going to be forever. I read a little illustration that tries to give us some kind of a dimension to the idea of eternity because it's so far beyond our realm of thinking. I may have used it before, I don't know. This is not original with me, but somebody said one time that if when you think of eternity, if you could think for just a moment as our planet just being one big planet of sand. Just sand. Some of you go to the beach, you like to go to the beach and you see all the sand on the beach. If our entire planet was nothing but sand, and if there was a bird that flew from another planet somewhere else, and if it took him a million years to get to our planet, and that little bird took one grain of sand, and in a million years took it back to his planet, in the time that it would take that little bird to carry every grain of sand on this earth, eternity would will have only begun. Hell is a permanent place. It's permanent. You see, there's really not anything more important tonight than for you to know for sure that you're saved. Amen. There's not a meal you'll eat, a television show you'll watch. There's not anything you'll ever buy for the rest of your life. Any activity you'll ever be involved in that's more important than to know you're saved. And listen to me. If you had to give up everything you have, if you had to give up your family, if you had to give up your job, if you had to give up everything you have to get saved, you'd be better off to give it up tonight and have Christ, to surrender it all this evening. That is because of the horror of this place called hell. That's why Jesus came. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He paid the price. And that's why He's the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way to be delivered from the awful wrath of God in hell and to be able to go to heaven when you die is by receiving Christ and Him alone. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your word and for the things that You're saying to us tonight. God, You know our hearts, and God, You know what You're dealing with, and Father, You know what You want to say to us. I pray for those who are here that are lost tonight. God, I pray that You would do Your work and Your work of conviction, and Father, I pray that You not only convict of sin and righteousness, but of judgment tonight. And God, that You might break in on the hearts of those that are lost. I pray that they'd, Father, be able to see the reality of Your judgment against their sin and their desperate need to repent and to flee to Christ tonight. Do Your work in our hearts. Father, manifest Your presence. God, help us tonight in the very area that we need help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.